So I think for Nancy, we should record a review 5 times, and then John can cut it into different segments, and we can shuffle them around until we get an optimum Nancy review.
That would be the way to like yes and having just done a Scott McCloud episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we deconstruct the nature of a podcast review show.
Gonna have to explain your joke, Jeff.
Yes. So I mentioned this to Jonathan, and he was like, you should bring this up in the episode, which Scott McCloud has an activity called Five Card Nancy. And so the idea
Oh,
is
okay.
existing Nancy comics, and you cut out individual panels, and everyone gets a hand of Nancy panels, and then you keep playing panels until you've made a comic, and then people like judge the effectiveness of that comic. And Scott McCloud's argument is that you could take any single panel of Nancy, put it beside another panel of Nancy, and you would still get a cohesive story.
Kind of nice though. I like that. It's like Cards Against Humanity, but gentler and more meta.
Extremely gentler. Yeah, so I'm
So,
assuming.
I mean, that's a good segue into like the interesting place that Nancy seems to hold in sort of in the mind of cartoonists, like cartoon theory, where like I think there's a lot to like about like old Nancy comics, but it's like incredibly pared down. Like that's one of the things that Scott McCloud talks about a lot is the idea of the three rocks that our original artist would just draw like three rocks in a panel, because like four rocks is too much work, but two rocks isn't a pile of rocks. So like the
Perfect.
platonic pile of rocks is exactly three rocks.
Just
But
like
there's also three panels, so like you could view that as like a type of rhythm, you know, like you're repeating the three panels in the three rocks. But maybe the what was his name? Fuller? I forget.
Ernie Bushmiller.
Bushmiller. Maybe he wasn't thinking that deeply about it.
No, probably not.
So like my memories of Nancy are kind of thin. It's so funny. I'm glad you suggested this book, John, because I was looking to read more of this. But my memories of Nancy prior to the Olivia James takeover of it was kind of just lukewarm. It's just like wallpaper, like the wallpaper of comics. And I'm wondering if the it sounds like they were, but I didn't understand that Nancy did have so much meta humor in it on the nature of comics.
Well, I do want to go into like a little bit of the history of Nancy, because it's like a very, very long history, although most of it I don't think is that interesting.
Sure.
But I guess we should probably introduce ourselves first.
Hey, do we need to do anything before we just dive
Fair
All
enough, and I'm holding you to it.
right, well, this is the Trade Readers. We're back. We've been away for a while, as is our way, because we all have lives and are not professional podcasters.
This
And
is all of our like fourth job. It's fine.
yeah.
You are a
If you're not
listener.
willing to wait for trade waiters, are you really a trade waiter?
Oh, that's a good point. I was just going to say, if you're a listener and you want to see more episodes in a timely fashion, then you should donate to our Ko-fi, because if suddenly we were able to only have one or two day jobs instead of the 4 day jobs we all have, if
You
podcasting
get
becomes a bit more
episodes more
important,
often.
yeah.
All right, we need a character building question. And so the character building question I have for you is, if someone from a syndicate phoned you up tomorrow and offered you the chance to reboot a long-standing newspaper comic, and you had your pick of newspaper comics, What would your pick be?
Ooh, I'm Jeff Ellis, and I grew up with Sunday comics. So it was funny. Sunday comics was my entry drug into comics. Like, my parents had a subscription to the whatever. They switched between the Sun and the Province quite a bit, and like, they always had the full color comics. So I always had my favorite comics. And at one point, I insisted my parents subscribe to the Vancouver Sun so we could get Calvin and Hobbes, which part of me was like, I would want to reboot Calvin and Hobbes, but I am humble enough to know that I would be a pale, gross imitation of the talent that is Bill Watterson. So I'm not going to say Calvin and Hobbes. So I think I would want to reboot Opus, which was like that weird, quirky series with the penguin and Bill the Cat. And I think the reason I would want to reboot that is because it was so weird and it went so many directions. And I think you could do a lot of different things. You could take some of the core essence and move, like with Nancy, you could like modernize it and do new and exciting things. In the, I think it was later called Outland, but like that whole Berkeley breathed shared universe, like that's what I would take on.
Good choice. All right, I'm Jam. I also feel like newspaper comics were one of, if not the gateway for me into comics. I was thinking about it this morning and how I really am nostalgic for this idea of like a page of comics that just arrives at my door. And it's regrettable that it, would normally arrive with like a big thick newspaper surrounding it. I don't know what they did that. Maybe it was just like to protect the comics.
Yeah,
But
seems
as a kid, all I
unnecessary.
cared about was the comics page, obviously. So it's funny because, like, thinking about this, it's hard. Like, nothing jumps out to me immediately as one I would want to take on. But I think I'm drawn to the idea. Maybe this is a controversial take because the author of this strip is still alive. But I would ask to take over Mutz.
Ooh.
And for similar kind of reasons to Jeff, like, I enjoy Mutz because the characters are so cute. There's like this cat and the dog, but what they get up to is kind of also kind of surreal and vague sometimes, and just kind of like contemplative of life. And I feel like there's enough there that I could bend that into something where I could draw those characters, I think, and I could have fun with it. And also think of something interesting and valuable to say through those avatars.
Cool. I'm JD. I kind of cheated a little bit on this question because I've already done my Nancy. So just for fun, a few years ago, I decided I'm going to do a Nancy. I'm going to like take an old comic and reboot it. And the one I picked was BC, which I think is still in some newspapers. It's not done by the original creator because he's passed on. The new creator is
Probably his
not funny.
son or his grandson.
I don't think they're related. I think it's someone unrelated. But anyways, I remember really liking this comic as a kid because it's like it's cavemen doing like cavemen jokes. Like how is that not fun? But when you go back and read it, it's like super, super gender normative, like very sort of mundane, very sort of it's like the Flintstones if the Flintstones was like incredibly conservative. Where it's just like taking like t mid 20th century culture and saying, this is the way things have always been and must always be. So what I did is I took that and kind of flipped it. I said, okay, I want to do the opposite of that. I like, let's do some quote unquote cavemen, but we'll have it like breaking gender stereotypes and basically all a metaphor for climate change. So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed like trying to figure out how to draw those characters in anything kind of like my style because it's a very different style. And like prehistory is like really interesting. Like I think there's a lot of material there, and you don't have to have dinosaurs for it to be interesting because there shouldn't be dinosaurs. So yeah, that's all on my website if anyone wants to read BCE.
That's very fun.
The one thing I always remember about BC is that they would travel around on a single wheel and that had an axle, and they would stand on the axle and just roll. And then now there's like those stupid gyroscope whatever things. And so like,
Oh yeah,
people
they really exist. We finally did that. Yeah.
prescient.
What I did with my comic with that character is I had him, my idea for him, I only had like a couple of strips that had him in it where he was going to be, because in the original he's pitched as this is the guy who invented the wheel. But so I had him inventing everything that was wheel shaped that was not a wheel. So he invented the bagel at one point.
Ooh. I should go back and reread those. Those were good.
I had a lot of fun making them, but I don't own the rights to that, so it's only so much I can do with it. All right, so we should talk about Nancy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the comic Nancy has been around for a very long time, about 100 years. The original creator was named Ernie Bushmiller, and it's basically this is from like the golden age of newspaper comics, so it's just yet another comic with like wacky hijinks and a bunch of characters. You look at the character designs for Nancy and you can tell, oh yeah, this is like the 1920s. These kids are still dressed like they're from the 1920s. And it was very sort of pared down and very simple, sometimes surreal, which is, I think, those are the things that people remember fondly about it, or at least the thing that cartoonists remember fondly about it, is this very sort of like minimalist approach to comics, and also kind of very occasionally very modern in the sense of like understanding that it's a comic. But Ernie Bushmiller isn't the one who's been doing this comic for a long time. There's been like several other people who have had the job after he retired. And I haven't looked up very much about them because all I know is that when I first discovered the new Nancy with Olivia James, I went back on the website, the syndicate website that it was on, to read a few of the comments that came before, and they were not good. They're just like, I think the premise is let's have some cute stories about kids that like 60 and 70-year-olds will say, aw, and then move on to the next comic. And that's it. That's all it had going for it. And so I feel like Olivia James is kind of a return to form, or at least a return to the form as we all remember the original. And so Olivia James is a pseudonym. We don't know who Olivia James is. We do know that she got her start in web comics. I don't know which web comic. So that's where she sort of like learned her craft. Like you can tell, I think that this is not anyone's first comic. Like no one can jump into like you're doing a newspaper comic every day forever now without having some kind of practice ahead of time. She did a there's an interview that's in this book that she did with is it Vulture, I think?
Yes, yeah, it
Yeah.
was culture. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have that interview, and then she also did she made an appearance at a convention, which I really like that she was able to do that, and no one who was there has doxed her. Because, like, I don't know about the two of you, but I really want to know who Olivia James is. But at the same time, I respect that I am not supposed to know. And I shouldn't do any investigating to try and find out.
It's a very manga kind of thing, right? Like there's so much manga where the artist has a pseudonym and they're mysterious. You never see their face. I think it's kind of cool in North American comics for there to be this like, anonymous cartoonist. I don't know. I'd like to think that Nancy. I'm naive in this statement, but I was like, I'd like to think Nancy would be fairly apolitical, but like, absolutely someone's gonna find a reason to want to like troll and drag this cartoonist just because like, oh, this woman's making Nancy, bro, time to make her life miserable. So I'm glad
If you've seen the comments on the Syndicate
anonymity.
website posted under every strip, then yes, those people absolutely exist. The previous artist of Nancy had fans, they were on the internet, and they do not like Olivia James. But I don't care because I do.
I think I mean, I didn't actually look at the older strips, but I did notice, I think in the introduction, the editor was mentioning that Olivia James changed Aunt Fritzi to be a little more of like a normal woman, where I think the comment was, I think that the past previous artist, I think Brad and Guy Gilchrist had done more of a like sexy pinup Aunt Fritzi. So I'm sure that's really irritated some people on the internet. So
Yeah, and I guess that reminds me of the only other thing I wanted to mention about the background of this is that our Ernie Bushmiller's original comic had Aunt Fritzi as the main character, but then Nancy was the character that everyone cared about, and so she quickly took over the strip.
That's fun.
And then it's been Nancy
Didn't
ever
know that.
since.
I like that. That kind of suits her bossy demeanor. She's like, oh no, I'm not a side character. Sorry. I'm gonna be taken over.
Again, I didn't go back and read old Nancy, but like as a child, I remember reading Nancy comics, and they were probably like reprinted in Archie Digests or something, honestly. And I'm pretty sure they were the original Ernie Bushmiller, because my memories of Nancy are as this really bossy, pushy, like girl who like had a lot of quirks in her personality. And so like reading this, I was like, that's the Nancy I remember. Like I remember that character, you know? So I think for me at least, I feel like Olivia James has really nailed the essence of what Nancy has always been about.
I really enjoyed this book. I really was, as I said again, like really excited for the opportunity to read it. And I'd seen like a few isolated strips get traveling around the internet, especially at the beginning, where everyone was like, oh my God, everyone, Nancy's good. Like, I don't want to alarm anyone, but Nancy's back and it's amazing. So like I'd only seen those isolated strips, and it was enough to make me curious. Not so curious that I would type in the URL of a website, apparently. Especially not a syndicate website. Something about syndicate websites are kind of like, I don't know, I get like a hostile UI vibe from them,
Yeah,
where they
that's
would
fair.
prefer you not be there. So I didn't read it online, but reading it in sequence in this collected edition, there are so many good comics. I was like screen capping them. I was laughing out loud, like true LOL, not ironic LOL. And I really loved the modern twist that went on it. I thought the plot lines went somewhere interesting. I loved the meta humor. So funny. There were so many interesting little ways that the medium was taken or played with, what the medium of comics was played with in this strip. And it's something about it, like it's not so in your face when it does it. I feel like it plays with the medium in a very natural way that a casual reader, I would say, like someone who's not such a huge nerd for the form of comics, could still pick up on the fact that it's being a little meta on the form of comics and be like, oh ha ha ha, that's funny, and not, you know, need to think too deeply about it, and like, wow, drawing outside the speech bubble to, you know, emphasize volume, or like the rain is like soaking the entire page outside the frame, and oh, just like yanking the frame closer to like cut this person off and in universe. Oh, just brilliant, brilliant ideas, really fun.
Yeah, and I think if the comic was doing that every single time, it would get old really fast. It wouldn't be funny anymore because it wouldn't be unexpected.
I
So
agree.
it does it only as much as it can get away with without breaking.
I don't know, there's such a nice mix here. Like I remember looking at some of the Nancy strips that were getting posted, and I think there's one that isn't in this collection that I always remembered, where it
Oh,
was
is this
like,
the one with the box of cookies on the fridge?
yeah, the cookie jar, and like reaches out of the panel she's in to grab the cookies from the panel below, because that lets her grab the cookies from the top of the fridge easier than she can't reach them in the panel she's in.
Yeah, and then Aunt Fritzi like
Yeah.
storms into the kitchen mad about what she's done, and Nancy says, "How did you know?" And she holds up the newspaper with the Nancy
Yeah,
today's
because
Nancy
you're
comic
reading
in
the
it.
comic. Yeah.
That's my only regret about this book is that that strip is not in this collection.
I
And you
know
just
that
have to buy volume two. I
I
guess
should have been,
so.
that should have been included. But it's like they do that, and then they also have all this like really good stuff about phones and social media. Like I just like was like around like page 30 to 34, I marked off like they had a bunch of just like really good like phone addiction comics, like with like Sluggo talking about how he has trouble sleeping, and Nancy's like, you know, you just need to look on the bright side. And he's like, that's the problem. And then it's him staring at his phone in bed. It's like, yeah.
My favorite was like Nancy was laying on the couch looking at her phone, and she's like, God, why am I just staring at my phone all the time? And she just decides to Google, why am I staring at my phone all the time?
There's so many things I like about how much phones are in this comic. One, because I just like you don't see that kind of those like those jokes very often. Like there's this huge wealth of material because we're all on our phones all the time, and like writers just often don't seem to know what to do with that. Like no, you've got this giant like shared experience we're all going through, and like you're just leaving it on the table if you're not doing that.
I mean, I
Um,
think like it's so absurd. I think that's another thing why people I'm of like multiple minds about it. I think one, they avoid it because it's such a narrative, I don't know, dream killer. Like there's the joke that we talk about where you couldn't have Seinfeld in modern times with cell phones because 90% of the misunderstandings would just be like clarified with a text, or just like a quick search. So I think like people avoid it for that reason because it feels less fun to write, but like it's kind of depressing. I think also a lot of people think about like the absurdity of being completely addicted to your phone and having it so ubiquitously in your life is maybe depressing, but like this manages to twist that into a way where we can laugh at ourselves. I think in the interview, Olivia said it was like it's hashtag relatable in like a kind way, and I liked that. I mean, I
Yeah.
also think in the interview, I think Olivia commented on the fact that some people thought, you know, having phones sort of hurt the timelessness of Nancy. But like, I would argue, like, no, this is what makes Nancy feel relevant to today, right?
And that also assumes that we'll ever get free of our phones in the future.
And
And
I
I
think
don't know if we will.
there's a third assumption, like, I was reflecting on this and the fact that Nancy felt like wallpaper in my mind. And I know that kind of sounds negative, but I was thinking about strip comics related to web comics, right? So what people really enjoyed, what I interpret that one of the things that people seem to really enjoy about web comics is how much farther out they could go in terms of like challenging narratives and interesting plot lines that hadn't been explored before. But because the strips came in the newspaper, it was very, very difficult for them to tread into anything that was challenging. And so for that reason, it just felt kind of, it had to feel kind of gentle. You know, it was just something nice that came in the paper, and you were like, oh, nice. Like you were kind of commenting of like, oh, it's for the 60 to 70 year olds to say, oh. And I think like being able to bring in this modern context and still give you like a little opportunity to say, ha ha ha, you know, it's nice. So I think it retains that spirit of Nancy being able to reach the audience where they're at today and
For
give them
sure.
that same kind of emotional experience today. And the second thing I'll say about that is that you can't destroy the timelessness of something that exists. The original Nancy still exists. Just go read it again. You're so concerned. Like the new Ghostbusters doesn't destroy the old Ghostbusters. It's fine.
Yeah, good point.
I can't remember which author it was, but there was some like anecdote I'd heard where like a famous author was being interviewed by a reporter, and they were like, "What do you think about how Hollywood has ruined all your books?" And then he took the reporter into his other room that had he had a bookshelf with all of his books on it, and he goes, No, see, they're fine. Like, they're still
Well,
here.
that's an Alan Moore anecdote.
Well, I mean, but that wasn't, Alan Moore was quoting some other author.
Oh,
So,
was he? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
it was like, I don't know, E.B. White or I don't know, like another more, some author who had a lot of works adapted into films in like
Sure.
the 50s and 60s. And like Alan Moore was just, when people asked him how he felt about the Watchmen movie, he just pulled that out as his go-to. But I mean, I think again, this like is a universal thing. It's just like the original works are still there, so just read those if that's what you want. That's fine.
Yeah.
Also
Another.
really like that Olivia is doing this with these 100-year-old characters and then just like not changing the characters at all, except that now they have the phones. Like I think there's I'm gonna like maybe give this more weight than it seems like it needs to say that I think this is a powerful statement to say, no, the kids aren't weird and different now. The kids are the same as they've been for 100 years. They just have phones.
Right.
Like specifically these characters like Nancy and Sluggo, and I mean I don't know if the other characters were in the original script or not, but at least for Nancy and Sluggo, like their personalities haven't changed. This is the same Nancy from the 1920s. It's just the same Nancy, but now she's got a phone. And I
Right.
think that says a lot more than if you were to start a new comic from scratch about a kid with a phone.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I do think a lot of Nancy's new friends are like additions. And then I mean, there's also, I think the other nice addition is Nancy being in the robotics club. Like that was like a great addition of just it. I think there was, I think it was in the interview, but like it presents a lot of nice visual gags where you can have the like robots contraptions and what they're doing. But like it also, again, it's like kind of, it's like progressive in a very like understated way where it's just like Nancy's in robot club. She's not in sewing club or cooking club, right? And she's also clearly, there's an implication she's very gifted at it, but she just doesn't want to apply herself. She just would rather be goofing off because she's a kid, right? And so I don't know, just the dynamics between her and the teacher, I thought were really great. It just felt very accurate to how kids are, you know?
I thought it was so insightful the way it was brought up, where if you take Nancy as a character, she's someone who is very adamant about getting out of work and not doing what she's told. She's very, counter authority that way. But the teacher is very insightful to notice that she is very gifted at problem solving for getting out of work. And I thought that was very true and very insightful. And the second thing I want to say is that I have never felt so seen as someone who went to school for engineering as, like Nancy being like, robotics club, this is going to be amazing, and you see her like, like designing this incredible like mechanism machine. And then like the next panel is like her with a breadboard and some jump wires on the table. And it's so depressing and so boring looking. I'm like, oh my God, that is 100% the experience. That is one to one what it is.
I just like the comic or the strip where the idea of robotics club is introduced where I'm going to quote it here because I mean how can you not? The teacher says I think the teacher is talking to Aunt Fritzy and Nancy's not in the room and the teacher says I think Nancy should join my robotics club. She has the makings of a natural engineer and then the next panel is Nancy out in the hallway behind a closed door with a device she's quickly thrown together to listen in to the other room, saying, "That sounds like something I would hate."
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Was such a great, yeah, that was such a great visual gag. Yeah. I mean, again, I think that really sums up the beauty of that dynamic because it's like a lot of those jokes are Nancy doing really clever things that involve a lot of effort to avoid doing the work in class. Like she's problem solving, getting out of having to do stuff at Robot Club, right? And sometimes that involves doing more work than what she would probably be doing in Robot Club. Like it's,
Yeah, there's
I
a
don't know.
great There's a great strip that's meta commentary on that, which is like the teacher says, the teacher introduces the comic, the concept of this year's robot competition. And she says, I'd like you to think really hard about how it's going to do this. And Nancy starts thinking, how am I going to get out of thinking hard about this? And then, like, the next panel follows her and she's like lying in bed, like concentrating. She's like, how am I going to get out of thinking hard about
I have to say that all the interactions with school and with teachers are also super relatable. Like,
I can
there's not very
imagine.
many authors who can sort of, like, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know a lot about Olivia James, but if you told me that Olivia James had been a teacher, I would say, yeah, probably that checks out. She knows, however, she knows what she's talking about. She knows what she's talking about.
I was thinking a little more on the phones thing, and I think it's interesting how they're little kids with phones, but the things that they're doing are very like relatable to me as an adult. And I feel like it's a bit of a commentary on just how we all behave with our phones. Like there was like this one I tagged on page 40 where it's like Nancy's mad at Sluggo, so she's writing him a text message, and then her friend is like, oh, this is just gibberish. And she's like, yeah, but he doesn't know that. And then you see Sluggo watching the three dots just like sweating. I was just like, oh my God, yeah, like that is just like a perfect joke. It just works in no matter what age bracket you are. It's just like, yeah, relatable. Like it was this was really fun. This was a really good recommendation, John. I also liked some of the strips that I think were clearly created to troll the critics. Like again, page 65, there was the like Labor Day, which I guess apparently Labor Day, Nancy has a tradition of phoning it in every Labor Day. Like I think Ernie Hausiller started this, but it was like supposed to be a preview of things coming up in future strips. And so like there's the apparently controversial panel of Nancy riding a
A lord.
hoverboard with a selfie stick saying Sluggo is lit. And then they also have
Wearing shutter shades, right?
Yep.
shutter shades, yeah. And then Aunt Fritzy saying, from now on, I'm going to wear snowsuits, which again is playing up this idea that Olivia James wasn't sexualizing Aunt Fritzy. You know, it's just like, and then, oh yeah, phones, right? And like, it's just, I don't know. I just like that it just seemed like Olivia James took a list of complaints and was like, here's my new comic strip. Everything you dislike about my strip. I mean, there's all these nice little plots, which that's the other thing. I was actually ex expecting it to be more one-offs.
Well, that's typical in newspaper comics, though,
Yeah.
that
I mean,
they'll
like,
do a thing for like a week.
I guess just for a Sunday comic, especially like a comic like Nancy, I often expect it to kind of just be like a joke of the week. But like there are multiple like arcs of just like Nancy going to summer camp. And like actually that was one I really liked was Nancy goes to summer camp and it's art camp. And then very clearly the person running the camp is like a sports coach and
Yeah, he's
like
like the
doesn't
gym teacher.
have much to offer for like art education.
But at
I
the same time, it's kind of like meta as well because he's giving like the kind of advice that cartoonists give to each other to like take care of yourself so you don't injure yourself by drawing every day.
Yeah. I don't
So
know.
his advice isn't bad, it's just not for the right audience.
Yeah. And it's 100% that like someone like Nancy who has like pathological demand avoidance probably is like, no, I'm not gonna do that. Stretch my wrist, drink water. What is this?
Well, I also liked in there's like that had some good bits with like the art teacher or the teachers giving the instruction about like, you know, pull your viewer's eye to the most important part by using subtle changes in contrast, texture, and lighting. And then Nancy has a single tree with arrows pointing at it, and she just says, I respect my viewer's time.
That's why you only draw three rocks.
Yeah.
Nobody has time to look at more than three rocks.
I do really like, I mean, if you look at the art style for this book, it's clear it's a different artist who's like trying to emulate the Ernie Bushmiller style. But I really like how much she's sort of like internalized that style. Like this, if you look at the decisions in the on the page of like what do we draw here? It's not that just that she's drawing like Ernie Bushmiller, it's she's thinking like Ernie Bushmiller. Like
Yeah,
if they're
there's
walking down the
like
sidewalk, there's like a sidewalk and a few blades of grass and then nothing.
there's
Right. Not
a
funny.
real efficiency to it,
Yeah.
like a
Yeah.
very deliberate stylistic efficiency.
Uh-huh.
And that was something that I was just thinking, they introduced the characters of Agnes and Lucy, and they both like to draw, but then there's kind of a joke in it that one of the, I can't remember which, but one of them is very bad at drawing and the other one's very good at drawing. And whenever you see, oh, it was Lucy. Lucy's good at drawing. So when you see Lucy's characters, they're very like highly rendered and in more of a like Japanese manga style, which like maybe speaks to like Olivia James' range. And then more impressively though, like the like Agnes's characters look like they're drawn by a little kid because they just aren't, they don't like the proportions don't make sense, and they're all like, you know, they're drawn in that way that a kid can draw, and it's really hard for an adult to replicate, which again, maybe Olivia James has a child in her life that can just do these little like child drawings, but I don't know. I thought that was like a fun addition, was having these like twins with like good art, bad art. Was used a couple times, and there's definitely been some moments where you see Olivia James stretching her artistic muscle with drawing in different styles, which is kind of fun to see.
Yeah, like that seems to be a regular occurrence. There's one, this is page 55, where Sluggo is imagining himself as basically the
That's right.
Like Adam from the Sistine Chapel. So it's kind of like a halfway towards that style. Or there's one where like I can't remember what it was now, but Aunt Fritzy is like scared, and so she's got like cross hatching on her face, which is not the typical style, but it suits that specific panel.
Yeah, and then I think there was an early like meta one where like it was, or the joke is that like they aren't drawn correctly, like on page, and it's like, Nancy, you look a little off, and then they crossed out speech balloons, like, yeah, I think the cartoonist is having an off day. And then just like it gets replaced with, actually, this is just a Snapchat filter. And then it's like, for future comics, any art errors are a Snapchat filter. Like, yeah, I don't know. This it was very, very clever stuff. And I really like the additional characters. And just like the way it explored all these different, I don't know, all these little arcs, right? These little story arcs, I think were really fun. I, like I said, I wasn't expecting as much of a like a linear story to come out. Like I got kind of invested in like, where is Nancy gonna go with Robot Club? Like, is
Yeah.
Nancy gonna succeed at art camp?
I hope something comes with the competition. We do get to see that.
Have to confess, I haven't been keeping up with Nancy on a daily basis. I was
How could
for a
you?
while when Olivia James started. But yeah, like I'm not going to go to a syndicate website every single day.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this exact thing because I am like you, JD. I will not go to a syndicate website every single day. Forget it. But wouldn't it be cool if you could have a syndication platform? So I think King is one and Go Comics is another. I think there are two in competition right now. But if you could go to that syndicate's website and like check mark the strips you like in like a form, and it just sends you a daily digest in newsletter form.
Yeah, or like
Like
a,
the it'd be like the page of funnies.
or like, I mean, an open source Google Reader where you have not just the comics you want to read every day, but other things you want to read like once per day, but not follow on social media and read every single like minute or hour and just checkbox them all, and they all send to one place on your browser.
Well,
Aren't
there are
you,
open source speed readers, JD. There,
like, aren't you just
oh, I don't
spreading.
know
You can
anything about RSS?
that.
Isn't that just like reading web comics with RSS?
I don't know, but something
Follow-up
that's
post
like
for
easy and
JD
looks
doesn't know what
nice.
RSS works.
Anyway, well, no, there's no money, right? There's
No,
no
I know.
for
That's
someone
why I
to
did.
make a monopoly and then jack up the prices, fire everybody. So they're not going to
No, but listen to me, syndicate
that.
people who are obviously listening to the Trade Waiters podcast. Think about it. Like, make your little form, make the check boxes, send it to the 70-year-olds in their email that they all know how to use now, and then like every week you have an additional strip from one of your other strips that they might want to read, or you have like some merch that you're selling, or hey, there's a book. This is how it works. Just give us the funny pages back. You've been holding them hostage for too long.
Yeah,
Get with the times.
I would
Take
take
a
it as an
page out of the
email.
book of Nancy and get with the times. Okay.
Like, maybe I would actually enjoy checking my email inbox if once per day I got like a little comics newsletter.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I
Just saying what we're all
mean,
thinking.
yeah, I know it would be. I mean, it doesn't fit the model of the way things are anymore, but I have many fond memories of collecting stacks and stacks of Province and Sun comic pages, which they used to be like, like they had a, like the Vancouver Sun had a green border, the Province had a blue border, and like front cover, that was like the prestige spot. Like Calvin and Hobbes got the front cover because they wanted to do he wanted to do the crazy layouts. Like it was like a substantial book. Like it was like a 24, 32 page floppy that had full color comics in it and like was bound and everything, And I don't know. I don't know if you'd want to like keep having that delivered to your door and having that pile up in your house, but definitely just like, yeah, that idea of just having it all curated in one space. I think that sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cartoonist Co-op is starting something like this. So
Oh.
their directory does have what I'm describing, which is like you have a list of all the comics and you can check mark the ones you like, and it will aggregate them into a single RSS feed to you,
Oh, really?
which isn't quite the same thing because A, it's not daily, B, it's an RSS feed, and C, it covers all types of comics. So it's a lot of the ones that are like single page long form comics as well. Single page at a time, I should say. But the technology's out there. Go
I
come. I want
didn't know
my
they were doing that. That's good.
lukewarm, kind of like funny but not controversial every day, just to get us through the day. You know, I feel
I
like that experience is missing.
need to get more involved in this cartoonist co-op. Did you guys notice the Olivia James self-portrait in the back?
Yeah.
I did, but what did you notice about it?
Oh, well, just that it's an optical illusion. It's one of those illustrations where you can look at it as a woman, a young woman with her head turned away, or you can look at it as an old woman facing you.
Oh, I didn't see that second one.
Yeah, it's
Oh,
it's
yeah, I see it now.
little image. Like I think this is a copy of like one of those like optical illusion illustrations.
Yeah, it is. I've seen the original at some point.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think there's like the original maybe has like a head, like a head scarf added in, like a rag tied around the woman's head too. But, anyways, I just like it took me a second. I originally just thought it was a drawing of a young woman, and then I was like, wait a minute. I was like, oh, it's one of those like optical illusion things. Like, that's fun. And then the gallery in the back is also fun, which
I
I think.
also enjoyed the gallery where it's like it's a collection of Nancy themed images in the style of several classic paintings.
Yes.
There yeah, we get a shout out to Cul-de-sac, which
Ecce
we did an
Sluggo.
episode on.
Ecce Sluggo is the greatest.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a real pleasure to read. Thank you. as Jonathan was saying, sometimes when it's a really enjoyable book, it's hard to have much more to say other than this was a great book, but
Yeah, I was saying I gotta pick crummier comics in the future. I
have
don't
worse
know.
taste.
Nancy's good. Read Nancy. That's it.
I mean, I don't know. It's, I actually think it's kind of heartening to see, something like this that is being really successful, right? Like, it's nice to see a Sunday comic that is still kind of really doing the things that make Sunday comics good. Like, it's fun, gives you a little bit of a laugh. It's, not, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, like, I was gonna say it's not challenging, but just like, yeah, it's not like it's something you can just like read as part of your morning with your cup of coffee and it's okay. You can just like, it's not a big
You
demand
don't have
on
to
you.
chew on it a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And I like as a and I'm meaning that in a positive way,
Yeah.
right? And yeah, I don't know. It's just I think that's really nice to see. And then the other thing I was thinking about is like, we're living in this era of like the forever culture, right? Where it's like, we're never gonna not have a new Ghostbusters movie. We're never not gonna have a new Star Wars product. We're never not gonna have a new Marvel comic,
A
TV
Garfield
show
movie,
and or
apparently.
movie. And I mean, a lot of people are very negative about that, right? They're very cynical about all these sort of long-standing IP properties that go on forever. And I feel that, but then also like Nancy's been around for 100 years and it has had like what, five or six different artists, and there's different eras of Nancy. And it's, I don't know, it's complicated because I think that, any story, any intellectual property in the hands of the right creator can have a rebirth, can like have a resurgence. And can regain relevancy. And it isn't always like a cynical corporate money grab. Like that is maybe an aspect of it. Like obviously, whatever, I can't remember which syndicate, but like whatever United, so United Feature Syndicate, like they have a vested financial interest in continuing Nancy. But I don't know. It's like Olivia James, I think, is someone who truly was passionate about the character, and that passion shines through, and that passion is what brings new life to like the character of Nancy. And so like Nancy can have this renaissance. And so it's like I never want to just discount outright that like, oh well, boom, like they're just doing like a an Omen reboot, like who cares? It's like, well, I don't know,
Yeah.
maybe it actually would be good because maybe the people involved actually care about what they're doing.
I mean, I am often that person who is complaining, why can't we have something new? Because I feel like there's a lot of value in doing something new from scratch. And so like 9 times out of 10, if you ask me my opinion on rebooting existing newspaper comics, my answer is going to be like, no, you shouldn't do that. You should just let them die. But I mean, Nancy's so good, you can't say that it's like 10 times out of 10 that it shouldn't happen, because it is possible to do that and do it so well that I don't even care about Ernie Bushmiller. Like, I'm not actually interested in going back and reading his originals. I just want to read Olivia James.
I take a different perspective. I respect what you're saying, Jeff, and I understand where you're coming from. I see it as art finds a way. So, like right now, it feels like there's a lot of barriers to creativity that are being put up. And one of those is like, you can't sell something that's not an existing IP. Or at least there's this impression on the behalf of the people who have the money that you can't sell something that's not an existing IP. And yet, creatives and creativity will accept that challenge and find a way, find a crack through the door, so to speak, find a crack in the system to go and express something that's true, express something that's real. So the difference between me and you, Jeff, is that I see it happening in spite of the context. And I'm looking forward to the day when we can be more freely expressive, but for now, I applaud all of those creatives finding cracks in the existing system to bring us the truth of their expressiveness and their art.
I mean, maybe to clarify, like I definitely like think that there needs to be space made for new things. I mean, we were talking earlier about how like BC is now drawn by whatever, some other guy, and like Family Circus is handed down to Jeffy, and like he'll probably hand that down to his son. And somebody, I remember having a conversation with someone about For Better or For Worse, because Lynn Johnson was going into semi-retirement, so she was only producing one new strip a month or something, and then all the other strips were flash like best ofs, like old strips being republished. And people were saying, well, this is a spot, there's a limited space for Sunday comics, right? There's only whatever, in every newspaper, there's only whatever, eight spots. So that Lynn Johnson is continuing to occupy space in semi-retirement is like blocking a space that could be opened up for like a new creator to enter. And I mean, I think that is maybe the one argument against, and again, I love that Nancy still exists. Don't get rid of Nancy, but it's like this would be maybe the argument is that like, oh, well, like there's no space for a new character because we're still making Popeye, we're still making Nancy, we're still making Dagwood, we're still making Beetle Bailey, we're still making BC, we're still making Family Circus. Like, if none of those strips go away, there's no room for anything new to fit in there. And I think what I would like to see, I mean, this is again, there's no money here, so it's not going to happen, but like, I would say let a comic strip run its course and like retire it until somebody has a good idea, right? Like imagine if Ernie Bushmiller made Nancy and then it just there was no Nancy for 30 years, and then Olivia James just shows up going, I had a great idea. Check it out. Nancy's back, you know? I guess I don't want to discount that someone could bring an old thing. What's old can become new again, but I definitely think that. Yeah, the real problem is that there's a lot of stakeholders who have a financial vested interest in there never being a retirement, that you never have a break, right? You just, we can't not produce a new Star Wars property now, because if we do, people might forget about Star Wars and then another science fiction property might take over. So we just have to hold on to that spot forever now. There just always has to be a Star Wars. And they're like, always has to be a Nancy. There always has to be a Popeye. We can't ever let it lapse, because then someone else might squeeze in, and then people might, another character might enter the zeitgeist, you know?
I think it ends up being back to what Jam was saying. I think always think of this as being the Michelangelo paradox, where if you gave Michelangelo free rein to do whatever he wanted with art, I actually don't know what he would do. Like he would decide I still want to paint scenes from the Bible, but we don't ever get to know that because like this was the only stuff that paid. Like this was the stuff that paid, and he did something unique and special and different with it that no one else had done has done before or since. And this was his chance. This was his way to do art. Art found that way. In a different world where the Medicis and the Pope were paying people to just do whatever they wanted, I don't know what we would have got. And we're never gonna know now.
I mean, that's a good point. It's like, it's just you're making the best of the situation you're in. You're using the
Yeah.
card dealt. It's like there is no space for a new character, but we can let you do Nancy. So here
Yeah.
we go.
Yeah, because if they don't give Nancy to someone, they're probably just going to shut down that space. They're not going to find a new comic and start from scratch and like put it in a few net newspapers to test it out and then grow a market over a decade. No, they're just going to say, "Oh, we'll just cut that. The newspapers need to be smaller." So, yeah, there's no good options here.
Well, there are good options. We just have to build them.
Yeah.
We as a community, not the three of us. The three of us are taking the role of popularizing it and
We
proposing it.
already have five jobs, thanks.
We don't need more jobs. But
Yeah, no, yeah.
I think a better world can come if we choose to enable it.
For sure.
I
Yeah.
mean, I don't know. I do want to make sure, like, yeah, I mean, I think, For Better For Worse is a great comic. And if Lynn Johnson wanted to just do semi-retirement instead of full retirement, like, that's fine. She's earned her stripes,
Well, I think Lynn Johnson is a particular case because
Yeah.
Lynn Johnson has a has had a somewhat sad financial history. And so it could be that this is kind of a way to offer her a more comfortable retirement
Yeah.
by continuing to have an avenue to pay her.
Yeah. So
But that's more of a function of like, hey, we should have retirement plans as working cartoonists.
or
Yeah.
maybe, yeah, maybe pay cartoonists better in the first place.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I didn't want to end with it coming off negative on, I don't want to drag Lynn Johnson or anyone else who's working on, like, whoever's drawing Popeye right now, I'm sure you're doing good work. It's fine.
Isn't it Randy
Randy
Mulholland?
Mulholland.
Yeah. Who's
It's
also
Randy
doing good work.
Mulholland, and he is doing good work, and that was going to be my shout out. So I'll go back to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, yeah, I think like as it's like you're making the best of the situation. You're getting your art out there in whatever form. And so yeah, I definitely don't want to come off as like bashing anyone who's using pre-existing IP. But I do think maybe, yeah, this speaks to the systemic issues where it's like if people were not needing to like earn a living off their art, then yeah, what would become if Mike, as you like, same as with if Michelangelo wasn't dependent on the Medicis, what art would he be creating? What cartoons would be getting made if cartoonists didn't like have to like make these compromises to get a livable income? Which comes back to just donating to Ko-fi if you like an artist. Like an artist's work, just give them money on Ko-fi and let them quit their
Yeah,
day job.
for
Yes.
whichever artist and project you like.
I don't
Not
know.
necessarily the three of us who all have one
There's lots of artists on Ko-fi. Yeah.
those. All right. So I think that pretty much covers final thoughts. How about shout outs?
I would like to shout out Popeye, Randy Mulholland. So, if you're interested in another legacy comic that has been taken over by a younger creator who is full of passion, I don't think you could find something more interesting to look at than Popeye by Randy Mulholland. It has been, he is like a Popeye super fan. He has been a Popeye fan, super fan for as long as I've known him. He's very, very deep in the lore. And he is going back and taking different characters from Popeye's deep history, bringing them to the surface and recontextualizing them in much more modern stories that are very entertaining. And so I would recommend that as someone who is interesting in how you could make something really interesting with a crack in the door, I would recommend checking out Randy Mulholland's Popeye.
Oh, I was just yeah, I just pulled up a little Google search of art, and yeah, looks great.
He also did recently, actually, like as I was thinking about our conversation, he also recently did an interesting comic based on Steamboat Willie,
Oh yeah,
which
I saw that one.
recently entered the public domain. And so I think that's kind of dovetails well with our conversation of, what can you do with legacy characters if they are free? And this is the type of thing where it's like, let it die until it has a new idea. And Randy is like, oh, it's free now. I have this random idea. Let's just go with it.
All right, that's a great recommendation. I have a recommendation that's not a comic book, but like I feel like this is gonna be closer to the recording date, even though I feel like tonally it's like off. But in the vein of just like somebody doing something unique and like not based on IP, me and my partner just watched Baby Reindeer, and like, wow, what. It was kind of a harrowing viewing experience, but also like it's a very deeply personal story that deals with a lot of things that don't often get discussed in popular culture. And it's really stuck with me. It's something I've been really reflecting on a lot. So it's on Netflix, it's getting a lot of hype. Check it out. Content warning. It's like about stalking and like trauma and assault, but like it's also a really well constructed series from a singular writer and star.
I have not had a lot of time to read books lately, so I'm going to shout out the concept of having time to read books because it's great if you have the time to read books. You can read books, and books are good. I hope to have more time to read books soon.
We should get them as a sponsor.
There's no money in that. Everything I've been reading for months and months has been things for a university course, which is now over. And then I had to read a bunch of books for trade waiters. And then I have all of the books I bought at VanCaf last year that I want to read before next VanCaf, which is in a few weeks.
I love the irony that you're like distressed that you don't have enough time to read because you're reading for your job as a librarian.
Yes, that's right.
It's like water everywhere.
Exactly. Yeah, you can't drink that water. It'll kill you.
You want to shout out
Phobos
this
and Deimos? I mean, okay. Phobos and Deimos is a book. I made it. It's really good. I enjoy reading it, having now that it exists out in the world and I can sit down and read it myself. And it is either at the distributor and on its way to bookstores or will be soon. So if you buy it from a bookstore, you'll get it like in a reasonable amount of time, I
Yeah.
think.
Yes. It's definitely on a truck headed to Ontario right now.
Okay. The Trade Waiters is presented by Cloudscape Comics. We'd like to thank Sleuth for the music. You can find us on cloudscapecomics.com and on SoundCloud and on very many different places where podcasts are.